There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
We're looking at treating rare disease now on The Business Breakfast. We're joined by Kareem Samaria, who's the founder and CEO of Genpharm, specialty pharmaceutical marketing and consulting company. Kareem, thanks for coming in. It's nice to see you.
Good morning. Thank you.
You've come in wearing a T-shirt saying Rare Disease Day, because it was Rare Disease Day yesterday, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
And the theme of this year's event, or awareness-raising celebration, if you like, was research. Why was that chosen as what needed to be highlighted now?
Yeah. In fact, today there are 7,000 rare disease classified as rare disease. Unfortunately, the majority of them do not have currently any treatments. There are about only 225 diseases that have treatable aspects. So research is quite important. Without research, obviously, treatments are not found. And that's why research has been chosen this year, as last year, in fact.
Before we talk about the economic incentives or otherwise of developing drugs for those diseases, what counts as a rare disease?
So a rare disease, as defined by the FDA, is any disease that has less than 200,000 patients. In Europe, the definition is slightly different, but it's all about numbers.
And we're generally talking about genetic diseases, aren't we? Genetic syndromes?
Yes, absolutely. So these genetic diseases are either hereditary diseases, or certain people are born with certain genes that are defective. Certain diseases can also develop throughout life. But unfortunately, most of them are pediatric diseases. They are life-threatening and very costly to society as well.
What is the most common rare disease here in the UAE, if that's not an oxymoron?
Well, in fact, if you look at the Middle East as a whole, there are certain aspects that make certain diseases prevalent. For example, there's large family sizes. There's a high rate of consanguinity still, which means people marrying between family members and cousins. And that could lead to some severe genetic disease. Most of the diseases we see here are either metabolic diseases, or they are blood disorder related diseases, as well as certain neuromuscular diseases.
So, we started off this conversation by you talking to me about the very small percentage of these diseases that actually have treatments available. I thought things like the Orphan Drug Act in the US, which incentivizes companies to make drugs for conditions that there might not be very many patients for, so very many customers, to be blunt about it. I thought that was supposed to incentivize companies to do this. What's going on?
Yeah, in fact, the Orphan Drug Act, which was instituted in 1983, really led to the creation of this rare disease segment, if you like. There are grants for research that are provided to companies looking at rare diseases, and that's simply because the number of patients is so little that many companies were not interested initially to look at that field. But because there are research grants, because there are fast-track approvals, or faster pathways to regulatory approval, as well as certain incentives on pricing, it has made it attractive. And if you look at the research that's ongoing today, there was a record in 2016 with more than 300 applications given to the FDA looking at orphan drugs and rare disease.
But is it still not enough or fast enough?
Well, research takes a long time. You still need to prove that a drug is effective. This is a long process. It's a very costly process. It costs more than $1 billion to put a drug on the market today. So now that we understand more about genetics since the discovery of the human genome, we have made huge improvements, but obviously there's still a lot of work to do.
What role can this part of the world play? I mean, we're busy setting up science parks. We're busy announcing initiatives for innovation, for next level knowledge. What role can you see the UAE and the GCC playing?
I think there are a lot of improvements taking place across the region, in particular the UAE, but we need to really create a micro environment where research can take place, in particular basic research. That requires scientists to be trained. It requires universities. It requires labs. As an example, most of the genetic labs today have to send their samples abroad, out of the region, to do these analyses, while I think there is the competencies and the qualifications to be able to create labs across the region and do the samples here. So there are a lot of improvements, but it takes time, and we need to really create a microenvironment to support research.
Kareem, let me pick up on that word that you mentioned, co-sanguinity, which is marrying people in simple terms who are related to you in some sense or other. This is the prevention aspect, isn't it? This isn't about research or drugs. This is a simple social prevention. Outline the problem as it exists today and outline some of the potential social solutions.
Yeah. So according to the Center of Arab Genomic Studies, which is based here in Dubai, $30 billion are spent yearly on rare disease for patients in the Middle East. Most of this spent is going on treating these rare diseases in terms of, you know, drugs being provided and hospitalization and caring for these patients. But very little is being done in terms of preventing these rare diseases. It does cost a lot of money to prevent because these prevention programs need to reach a huge audience, needs really to get down to the public. But there's a lot of education that can be done. If you know today that you carry certain genes and then your partner is carrying also a gene that could lead to your offspring's having, being born with certain genetic diseases, then that part of the education process can really, prevent.
So this is pre-marriage screening, isn't it?
Absolutely, so pre-marriage.
One can have blood test before marriage to find out whether you're compatible or not with your partner. Explain how those work and how much they cost, how prevalent they are.
So in fact, here in the UAE, this is mandatory. It's done for the local population. It's covered by the government. And this is because of the issue of prevention. But this is only the first step in terms of educating the population. It's a simple blood sample that is done in the lab. And there is a specific panel to screen for about 200 genetic diseases that are the most prevalent in the area. Because the important thing is you need to screen for these diseases, but it's even more important to screen for these that are treatable so that you can really inform people that there is a drug available out there as well.
When you say treatable, we've just had a text in from someone asking whether we're talking about treatment or cures.
Yeah, so in fact, most of them are treatment, are basically drugs that are able to manage the disease, reduce the symptoms, reduce the aggressiveness of it or the degenerative aspects. But there are very little diseases that are in fact cured today. This is going to change, and hopefully over the next 10 to 15 years with the advent of gene therapy, which is still experimental, although we've seen some breakthroughs over the last few years. So we're really looking at curing diseases rather than managing them over the next few years.
Am I right in thinking that Great Ormond Street's been very big in what it's doing with gene therapy and children?
Absolutely, absolutely. There's a lot of research going on there. There's a lot of education going on there, but these things take a lot of time.
Which conditions, which diseases are most likely to be the beneficiaries of that?
So you're looking today at a certain neuromuscular disease, such as Duchenne muscular dystrophy, spinal muscular atrophy. You're looking at diseases such as cystic fibrosis, a respiratory disease. There are diseases with blood disorders, which is quite prevalent in the area, such as beta thalassemia, as well as sickle cell disease. These are just few examples.
So let's look at what can be done. Research is one thing. You talked about the center based here in Dubai for studying these issues here in the UAE. What needs to happen next?
So the first thing that we need to do is really clinical trials, is making sure that these drugs or these new technologies do work in real life and not only in a lab setting. The second part that I think really needs to be a big focus is really the prevention and the education aspect. Today, there are social stigmas and taboos that are related to these diseases, although they are, patients are born with it.
And well, let's talk about those. You talked about the UAE having a program for premarital screening, and that's fine in a country with a relatively small and affluent Emirati population. You go to somewhere like Saudi Arabia or Egypt, the scale is many order of magnitudes more challenging and more difficult. How do you tackle it in big countries like that or others like them?
Yeah, I mean, even in Egypt and Saudi Arabia, there are programs in place. There are patient registries. There is also a newborn screening program in place whereby once a kid is born in a hospital, there's a screening for certain diseases as well. That would improve prognosis because the earlier that you diagnose, the better the prognosis for the patient. And this is really the key issue. If you compare this region to Europe, for example, in Duchenne muscular dystrophy, a patient is diagnosed in Europe at the age of 4, while in this region, the diagnosis age is usually around the age of 8 to 9. So we're missing a window of opportunity to treat for about 4 to 5 years. So these are the type of programs that need to be put in place. Premarital screening, newborn screening, patient registries, and a lot of education.
What about emotional additional support. We've just had a text in from a woman who says that her son has a rare genetic, she calls it an error of metabolism, SSADHD. Only 500 people in the world are diagnosed with this. She says that, research so far is self-funded. If there's only 500 of you in the world, how do you get the experience, the emotional support, even just the air that you might need?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the key issues that the Orphan Drug Act has tried to tackle, is really bring interest to these rare diseases for research. In rare disease in particular, the patient advocacy is very important. The patient support groups are very important. And just a shout out, there's a foundation here called the Lulu Foundation, which was organizing yesterday the Rare Disease Day in Dubai. It's founded by parents of a rare disease child, and they're bringing together different parents, creating a support group or your emotional support that you were mentioning. So it's really important that people are able to share their experience and learn from each other in terms of how do they deal with the disease on a daily basis in a home setting.
It's interesting because you mentioned stigma earlier, didn't you? Does that stop some people from, I don't know, reaching out, talking to others, getting some help?
Yeah, we've had discussions with many people that don't want actually to be part of a large group because they don't want to see what could potentially happen to their child. Certain people in that same group would have maybe a more progressive type of disease or a more advanced stage of the disease. So there's a lot of hesitation to be part of that. But I think once they see that, you know, there are solutions, although they might not be curative, but there are support measures that can be taken, then they get encouraged.
Thank you very much for sharing that with us. Kareem Smara is the man behind GenPharm, founder and CEO of that specialty pharmaceutical company. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.